Oh, okay. Continuing our conversation with Derek, I wanted to read a couple more lines from Don Thiel's article written in 1954. I just read a while ago, in the wake, Shem and Sean, the twin sons of HCE and ALP, are ultimately the artist and his daimon. Contrary to the tendency to identify Joyce with Shem and his brother Stanislaus with Sean, Joyce, in a deeper sense, as every man, is both Shem and Sean. Shem is the penman, but Sean is the postman of the apocalypse, who carries the word recorded as a letter down through the history of man. Shem has a bardic memory, then Thiel quotes from Finnegan's Wake, the right words by the rote order, unquote. So Shem has a bardic memory and is a time-binding force, while Sean lives in an ad world of one-day rhetoric and is a space-binding force. In such a world, Vico's ideal eternal history of man, with his quest for the true Homer, could become one of the central counterplots to the story of an old Irish barroom ballad applied to the actual discovery of the remains of an archaeological giant. And Joyce starts this, writing Finney's Wake in 1922, right after Ulysses has come out, and one of the big events of that year was the discovery of Tutankhamun's tomb in Egypt. So you have daily news affecting James Joyce's writing of the book. Okay, so this is a book, a diary recording what's happening in the content and applying it to all Vico history is what Joyce on one level is doing. And I remember you once, Derek, saying that Marshall's work, his writings were a diary. You remember saying that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good point to make. So in this ballad, Finnegan's Wake
Ballad.
Well,
you know, I think that it's the same idea as vivisection.
Right, which I'm leading into. Very good. Mm-hmm. Coming up to that quote, Joyce's quote. Most of these quotes where Joyce is explaining himself are in the novel Stephen Hero, which he rejected and then redid as Portrait of the Artist as a young man. So, but there's a lot of his aesthetics are in Stephen Hero, which was later, you know, decades later published. So in the ballad of the sad fall of hod carrier Tim Finnegan and his remarkable rebirth at his wake, when some whiskey, Gaelic, usquebo, literally elixir of life, falls on him, when the whiskey falls on him, becomes a means by which all cultural and historical existence can be re-amalgamerged, that's a quote from Finnegan's
yes.
Wake, into a work of art. His use of Vico, as his use of Homer was, is structural and comic, just as Giordano Bruno and Hegel provided him with the material for the continual dialectical battles between the twin pairs, Shem, Sean, Kevin and Dolph, the Mooksie and the Gripes, Cain and Abel, Artist and Cop, etc. So Vico provided him with a means of structuring the relation between parents and sons, written in oral language, family and nation, but you have to realize that's all being replayed in electric conditions. That's the hidden ground. None of them, however, completely, all these dialectical battles, none of them, however, completely escaped the satiric focus of the dream world. For the wake is the reverse of the Pope's Dunciad. And Don studied Pope's Dunciad with Marshall in the early 50s, and that's when, coupled with studying Tennyson, they discovered or retrieved Menippean satire. It happened in these studies. And Don always pointed out that Finnegan's Wake was the completion of the first media ecological attempts by Pope in the Dunciad, especially the fourth and last version of the Dunciad. So it really, for the student of English literature looking at the canon, you know, the great works, to know that Finnegan's Wake completes the Dunciad is a tremendously valuable pattern. Do you know what I mean? So this is,
yeah.
Don developed that. So he's saying, none of these dialectical battles has completely escaped the satiric focus of the dream world, for the wake is the reverse of the Dunciad, exposing the night world of the introvert at work and ending with the break of day. In the new day world, the artist, Shem, has become like Sean, and the administrator, Sean, has become like Shem. See? The bureaucrats and the artists flip. Culture is our business, is the title of a McLuhan book. The structure...
Indeed. Go ahead.
The structure of the work is such that Shem and Sean appear on the surface and are re-amalgamerged into the total community of redemption, which is the one man, the sleeping giant, Tim Finnegan. For the artist, this symbol is valid because only in terms of the sense apparatus of one man does communication take place. It is a vivisection of this body of existence as one man that marks Joyce's presentation. Like modern anthropology, Joyce discovered the roots for this analysis in the language and kinship structure of society. Then it quotes Joyce saying, "The modern spirit is vivisective. Vivisection is the most modern process that one can conceive. The ancient method investigated law with the lantern of justice, morality with the lantern of revelation, art with the lantern of tradition. But all these lanterns have magical properties. They transform and disfigure. The modern method examines the territory by the light of day. It examines the entire community in action and reconstructs the spectacle of redemption." Now, that's what Marshall was always saying in the 60s, that the discovery of the 19th century was the discovery of the process of discovery. That's regular science. But the discovery of the 20th century was the technique of suspended judgment. That's what he's trying to point out here.
Yes.
Not falling with the old tribal lanterns. Not within that. So then Don, now what's amazing, Don's 23, 24-year-old is getting this. You know, do you know any other students are getting this that early in McLuhan's class?
No, it's astounding. It's very profound, and it's what I've said before. We've lost a lot of the possibilities there. But no, it's great to recover intelligence this man had. He was capable. He was visionary himself.
That's right. So he then says, now he's talking here, the contrast between, quote, the magic lantern and the daytime world is the contrast between the ancient and modern. When Joyce uses modern, in quotes, he has in mind a technical sense, the sense in which the scholastic Aristotelian tradition is regarded as modern and the older Platonic tradition is regarded as ancient. In the wake, Joyce applies the vivisective method of Aristotle and the daytime world to the night phenomenon of depth analysis and idealism. It is the, quote, all-night news reveal, unquote, of the magic lantern world of Vico.
No, wait a minute. You don't read that right. It's nursereal. It's also nursery.
Oh, yeah.
You have to get that. But I hit on this one, and I thought it was fun to decode the double level of that one.
No, it's important.
Newsreel or nursery reel.
Right. Because first of all, news, it's important. It's not about ancient antiquity, you know. It's not this ancient Irish Celtic stuff. It is about the present information environment, the newsreel mm-hmm. that was happening in theaters. And, yes, but it is a nursery level, too. Remember, there's that quote Marshall made later. He called the global nursery, and everybody was 4 years old emotionally. You ever see that quote?
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, is explaining Finnegan's Wake, translating Finnegan's Wake. So it is the all-night nursery reel, and this quote, the all-night nursery reel, is how he ends Trivial and Quadrivial in 1953. He ends with that quote. It is the all-night nursery reel of the magic lantern world of Vico, idealism, and the anti-scholastic tradition. While this world contains within itself archetypes gleaned from the processes of cognition of the everyday world, Joyce had little sympathy for any romantic universal symbolism. And then there's this really good quote from Joyce where he says, "No aesthetic theory is of any value which investigates with the aid of the lantern of tradition. What we symbolize in black, the Chinaman may symbolize in yellow, is yellow. Each has its own tradition. Greek beauty laughs at Coptic beauty, and the American Indian derides them both. It is almost impossible to reconcile all traditions. It is almost impossible to reconcile all traditions, where it is by no means impossible to find the justification of every kind of beauty that has been adored on earth by an examination into the mechanism of aesthetic apprehension," there's your cognitive processes, "whether it be dressed in red, white, yellow, or black. We have no reason for thinking that the Chinaman has a different system of digestion from that which we have through our diets." So I'll do that again. "We have no reason for thinking that Chinaman has a different system of digestion from that which we have through our diet." There's something misspelled here.
From that we have, though our diets are quite dissimilar.
Right. "We have no reason for thinking that Chinaman has a different system of digestion from that which we have, though our diets are quite dissimilar. The apprehensive faculty must be scrutinized." Now, the forms of media are our digestive systems. The user is the content. This is the laying that dialectic out there, right, between the form and the content. And then it goes on. There's all kinds of great stuff. The importance of rhythm and language and music, that level. And then, let's see, how does it end? This is good. Joyce continues the neo... Oh, before I end, there's an important point where The dialectic on intellectual theory or philosophy level is in the wake. Both Ulysses and Finnegan's Wake, this is on page 67, both Ulysses and Finnegan's Wake emphasize the horizontal and vertical aspects of the body symbolism, resolving by amalgamation the quarrel between the supporters of a doctrine of correspondences, that's Swedenborg and Blake, etc., and then the opposing doctrine of synesthesia, which is the Mallarmé and the Symbolese. It's important to know that. So doctrine of correspondence sounds like matching. Synesthesia is making, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the vertical and horizontal schools of Manichaean disgust are the roots of the Gnostic secret society. So you see, Don knows about the dialectic between vertical symbolism and horizontal symbolism, which is spelled out in other writings at the time, unpublished writings by Marshall. So the final paragraph, Joyce continues the neoclassical tradition of wit in his attempt to portray the, quote from Finnegan's Wake, the soul's groupography. This is the last paragraph. And he does this in a comic mode. The effect aimed at is the inclusion and participation of the individual in the work as a whole. Earlier, Don talks about the role of phatic communication and the importance of that. And Marshall talks about phatic communication in his Joycean articles in 1953. So the phatic principle is really part of the dialectic. It's like meaning versus vulgar sensory involvement, which could be considered phatic by the literate person. Phatic. Mm-hmm. Literate people want meaning. They want conclusions, semantic conclusions. Pre-literate, post-literate people don't want conclusions, don't require it. There's no finish line, and they end up being either being phatic communion or phatic manipian phatic communion. I consider a lot of the pop culture today is manipian phatic communion. All right.
So, interesting. No, I think you're probably correct.
Right.
Yeah.
It's people aren't trying.
You know what my friend Marcel Danesi?
Yeah, the guy at University of Toronto?
Yeah, he's a very nice guy. He's written lots of books, and he ran the Semiotic series, but he also wrote a book called Cool about how, you know, part of the discussion or the way of behaving of kids that was like 20 years ago, but I still think it's very relevant today. Being cool is very much of a phatic communication where you don't over-verbalize. You don't specify.
You don't even want to be commented on, is the way Marshall writes in the 50s. You get insulted if people point out your non-verbal communication. But, yes, that's in the 60s. We're now manipian-phatic.
Yes.
Okay.
And how does that – How do I spell that out?
You actually demand attention about your non-verbal communication, and you got theories ready to insult people with.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's okay. That's good. I got it now. Yeah.
And it's even more, but that's a good beginning. So Joyce continues the neoclassical tradition of wit in his attempt to portray the soul's groupography in a comic mode. The effect aimed at is the inclusion and participation of the individual in the work as a whole, an effect that Alexander Pope and Ben Jonson had attempted. Joyce has the advantage of a more complex language enriched by a greater variety of art forms. That would be modern media, too. But his problem was common with theirs, the problem being to steer a mean between the extremes of romanticism or enthusiasm and rationalism. It has hardly been noticed that he shares their interest in unity, Pope and Johnson's interest. His works confine themselves to moments of time and points of space. They deal with everyday occurrences and present a comic view of mental activity, the cognitive processes. So the scientists are working with mirror neurons. You should encourage them to check out Finnegan's Wake for all kinds of reasons in their science. You see what I'm saying?
No, I see. But I like this connection between Pope Johnson and Joyce and how it's based on they have a common thing about having to deal with that extreme of romanticism or nationalism. That was very interesting.
Not nationalism, rationalism. Rationalism,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. You know, I said rationalism. You can go ahead now.
Yeah. So, and remember, McLuhan says that Alexander Pope figured out the archetypes of the private unconscious, whereas Joyce figured out the archetypes of the collective unconscious. But the private unconscious archetypes is Freud before Freud. That's what Marshall
said. Of course it is.
Right. Okay, so continuing, and Joyce presents a comic view of mental activity. When Joyce appears during the Inquest of Jan, that's like book 3, he divulges the roots, Jan divulges the what is this? I guess it's Joyce
DeVolta. He divulges the rules of his communionistic
technique.
Technique.
Yeah, so that's Joyce divulging it. So the inquest of Jan is really Joyce being interviewed on radio and explaining what he's doing in the book. That's a level that Marshall's talking about here. It is the hand touch, in quotes, of Big Meister. Now, this is part of Finnegan's Wake, this phrase. Big Meister Finnegan of the stuttering hand. So the hand touch of Big Meister Finnegan for the stutter of this communistic technique is to create stuttering. And Marshall used to say that when someone stutters, it's very involving for the listener. It's good to stutter. You get people to pay attention to you, right?
So, yeah, absolutely.
So Finnegan's Wake is written as a stutter. For the stutter of HCE breaks the flow of ALP, the river, and begins the transference of information, just as the heroic couplet, that's Pope, heroic couplet should be, but that's a pun in Finnegan's Wake, broke the flow of Renaissance lyricism to charge language with meaning. Joyce's work shows an increased sensitivity to written language, which has been partially reduced back to a flux by the electric age. His techniques of arresting eye and ear are an attempt to push a dynamic model in the arts to a point where more complete participation, phatic participation, I'm putting in the word phatic, on the part of the producer, consumer, reader is possible. Though dealing with the magic Latin world, Joyce is attempting the careful and precise analysis of vivisection. Now remember, when Marshall writes his letter to his mother explaining Mechanical Bride, he says, it's a new kind of science fiction where I show the community in action. So, you know, he's redoing what he thinks Joyce did. He's doing a vivisection through ads and pop culture. Though dealing with the magic lantern world, Joyce is attempting the careful and precise analysis of vivisection. He's actually bringing back the eye, but it's a tactile eye, using the book. He's retrieving the usefulness of the book in a post-book world. Mm-hmm. The movement of Finnegan's Wake is towards day, quote, my coming forth from darkness, unquote, accomplished through the gift of language. Then there's this quote from Finnegan's Wake. Be thy mouth given unto thee, for why do you lack a link of luck to poise a pont of perfect peace? Unquote. Then Marshall Joyce Thiel says, the satire implicit in the title of the Finnegan's Wake is a key to the resolution of the work. For Joyce's favorite phrase was, quote, wait till Finnegan wakes.
Yeah, I have to say that while many parts of the paper have actually totally fascinated me and sent me on new trips, I have to say I have been a little bit disappointed by the conclusion. It's more complicated than it should be, and don't know that it brings so much more to what was already.
I don't think Don understood the media levels. He's quoting a lot from Marshall's class and his writings. Mm. Don, he's only young, he doesn't get the full meaning of what he writes here till 15 years later. You know.
No, it's true. It's true. But I hope that Michael Edmonds heard all of the previous one. That's where I think I said the thing I said. Because it's really very much a something we owe to him.
Yeah.
So at this point, I think I have to get myself ready because I'm off to a party this evening. So I have to go and get dressed and all that, and I should be there at 7. So I think I'll give myself a half hour or so, and let's not get into your other work until you're leaving tomorrow evening, tomorrow afternoon. What are you doing?
I'm going to be traveling all over the place, so I will get in touch with you by email, and we'll see if we can set it up while I'm.
Well, when you are in about, you're going straight to Barcelona?
Oh, I'm not giving that information out where I'm going publicly, so we should stop.
Oh.
Let me stop the recording.
Okay.
Okay,
all
just
right.
A second.